Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the notice requirements provided for in the Open Public Meetings Act is not this one. Notice of this meeting was published in the Cape May County Herald and the Press of Atlantic City and is posted in Township Hall. The meeting is called to order. Carl, please take roll call.
Chambers?
Here.
Cowan?
Here.
Penrose?
Here.
Turner?
Here.
Watson?
Here.
Walsh?
Here.
Fry?
Here.
Pope?
Here.
Papriani?
Here.
Martucci?
Here.
McAvoy?
Here.
Bonastell? We have one absent.
Okay, great. First up on the agenda is the Reports and Aggregates of Pennsylvania LLC. It's Block 120, Lot 63, 64 through 67, 74, 75, and 79. Located on New Jersey State Highway 83 in a Business B, Rural Density Residential R3, and Low Density Residential R10 zone. The applicant is seeking preliminary and final site plan approval to renew the resource extraction permit.
Chairman, before we do that, we just need to quickly swear in Tom McAvoy.
Okay.
Tom, yes, sir. Tell the truth. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Could you read that oath that's in front of you for the board?
I don't have one in front of me, sir.
No. Do you have access to your email?
Yes. Give me one second.
Take your time. In the interim, while you're doing that, Mr. Gibson is here with me. I'm going to swear him in as an expert, as our testifying engineer. Mr. Gibson, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You were here at last month's meeting as well for the Pearson application, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you, all the testimony, I don't believe you provided any, but the extent that you did, that was also truthful, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Is Mr. Frailinger with us?
He is. Yes, I'm here.
All right. You're good, Mike.
Okay, you guys don't need me tonight?
We're going to need you at some point, maybe for the Randy Shule's discussion, with regard to the plan, the master plan review.
Okay.
But what I can do, Mike, is, I can kind of give you a buzz and let you know when we're going to get to that point. This way you're not hanging on for the next 3 hours.
All right, that sounds good. I'll just wait for a text or phone call and log back in.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you. I'm ready, Mr. Bastien, whenever you are, sir.
All right, you can go ahead and read what's in front of you.
I, Thomas McAvoy, do solemnly swear that I support the Constitution of the United States and the State of New Jersey and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and in this state under the authority of the people and that I will faithfully, impartially, and justify perform all the duties of the office of the Consolidated Land Use Board, alternate number 3, member term ending 12/31/2023. According to the best of my ability, and that I will not use my office to grant preferential treatment, nor to seek personal gain, favor, or advantage not available to the general public, so help me God.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
No problem, sir.
All right, Mr. Dinesco, I think you're up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Rocco Tedesco, and I am an attorney at law of the state of New Jersey. I appear this evening on behalf of Hanson Aggregates BMC with regard to their three-year mining renewal application for the property located on Route 83 South Dennis, consisting of about 126.35 acres. The plan that's been submitted to you is without change from the previously approved plans. There's been a report rendered by Mr. Gibson dated August 10, 2022, which, as I read it, confirms that the mining operation is in compliance with the ordinance. I would note that the water tests that were mentioned in additional comments, item 13, sub number 1, have been supplied. I confirmed with Mr. Gibson today that he has, in fact, received them. I have with me tonight Jesse Dougherty of Marathon Engineering, who is the project engineer, and Tim Poppenberg, a representative of Hanson Aggregate. I don't want to unnecessarily take the board's time in light of the fact that there does not appear to be any issues with regard to this application, and the applicant being willing to accept all of the comments and conditions contained in Mr. Gibson's report. I would ask the chair whether or not the board feels the need for any particular testimony.
Mr. Tedesco, just briefly, could you ask Mr. Poppenberg to tell us what changes there are, if any, much in terms of mining for the past 3 years, and if there's anything significant that'll change in the next 3 years?
Tim, did you hear that question?
Yes, I did, Rocco.
You want to swear on, John?
Of course, thank you, Rocco. Mr. Poppenberg, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay. You can just tell us about...
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Yeah, so to give you a little bit of history here, we have been pulling you out of that pit. For the last 3 years, we've been averaging around 20 to 30,000 tons a year that we are pulling out of that pit and moving down to another pit that we have. We refer to as Upper Township in Woodbine, and we process that material to a finished product. Our expectations are, as the market holds consistent, that we will be in that same sort of 20 to 30,000 tons per year. We'll be moving off of that Cape Cod site, what we refer to as Cape Cod, to the Upper Township site.
Mr. Gibson, does the board have any questions of the applicant, at least at this point? Mr. Gibson, will you tell give us your report?
I'll just jump right over to my recommendations, and if you don't mind, I'll read them. The items mentioned in the report should be discussed with the applicant and the plan revised as a condition for approval. And I'll come back to what I feel is necessary along the plan. All the above conditions in the previous resolution one resolution approving this application. The first thing on the plan that I noticed, although Attorney Tedesco used the proper list of property owners, I think that list should be on the plan instead of an older list that was used. So that's one of the changes I would like to see on the plan. The existing contours and other topographic features are the same as plans dated back 2015. And the applicant has dug there. He's at the rate of 30,000 a year by his testimony. And most of that has been concentrated in one area. That area is along the division line between phase one and phase two, which you can see on sheet five. My recommendation is, unless the applicant feels he's ready to start phase two, that he changes the limit from phase two and increase the size of phase one to anticipate the next 3 years of digging. And the plan should reflect that accordingly. I don't believe they need to take aerial photography of the whole site. But that area where they have the digging should be sounded and the contours revised to show the current conditions. And I think there should be some time limit set for those revised plans to come in. Safety signing has always been a problem. They fade and they disappear. It's generally the applicant does generally well, but the ordinance calls for safety signing at 100-foot spacing, and there are locations where it exceeds that. The fencing was a big item some time back, and the applicant installed a very thorough security fence because there wasn't one accident many, many years ago. And a security guard had to be kept at the site for years. Once that fencing went up, that security fencing, the board permitted the security guard to no longer be required. But we have to look at that fence. The applicant does inspect it regularly, and we get those reports. From time to time, a tree falls against it, or some other problem. My most recent inspection, I could find no location where the fence was compromised. But it's hard to get to some of these places because the growth has come back. So I'm recommending that the interior of the fence be cleared out again, and that if it's a fence line that you can walk along, to readily inspect it and maintain it when required. The applicant has provided tonight what has been done for the past 3 years and what's anticipated for the next 3 years. A performance guarantee should be provided, and an escrow account should be provided to cover the township's inspection dues. That's my report and my comments.
Mr. Gibson, just so I can understand, does the fence need up repair in certain places?
From time to time, and they do repair it.
Okay.
It's hard sometimes to see all of it, but so where the growth has come back after the fence has been constructed, I think that should be re-cleared.
Yeah. And in regard to the signage, are there areas of signage that they need to replace as well?
There is.
So, Mr. Tedesco, is your applicant willing to take care of those two things? Specifically those two things in addition to what else Mr. Gibson had placed on the record?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the security signs, the faded security signs have already been ordered to be replaced. The only question I have, I guess, is for Mr. Dougherty as to how much time would it take for him to provide the additional information that Mr. Gibson has requested with regard to the revisions to the plans.
Mr. Dougherty, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Let me unmute this so you can actually hear me. I do.
Mr. Dougherty, have you appeared before this board before?
Yes, with the previous application.
With Hanson or with some other application?
With Hanson, yes.
And that was 3 years ago?
Correct.
Mr. Tedesco, just tell us briefly, a lot of these board members are new and haven't seen the great work that Mr. Dougherty does. Could you just briefly?
Sure. Mr. Dougherty, what's your business and or occupation?
Sure. My name is Jesse Dougherty. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. I'm with Marathon Engineering. We have helped a three-kilometer court in Swedesboro, New Jersey, and one at, make sure I get the right, 1616 Pacific Avenue in Atlantic City, New Jersey. These plans were prepared at our Swedesboro office for this application.
And have you previously been qualified and testified as an expert in civil engineering?
Yes, numerous times. Once in front of this board, Previously, before that, I worked with Lance Landgraf, who was the planner that prepared these applications, but we did also prepare the plans for him, being that he was not a PE.
Mr. Walsh, do you require anything else?
No, I think that's sufficient, John.
Thank you. To touch base back on your question, that it's 200-foot list, we can add that right away for the plan. As far as survey information goes, I would recommend holding off to leaf drop in the fall. We are going to find that area's been kind of an accurate topo where that soundings can be picked up as we move along. So right now, it probably wouldn't be feasible to at least get an accurate survey until at least November. The site, so I put the revised plans at early of next year, say February, be completed and back in your hands for review. It would show the updates they're requesting.
Mr. Dockery, it's open there. It's completely open. You don't really need an aerial photography for the area that they've been working. I would request that be done sooner than...
Okay. If you're looking at just a limited topography, more than like 2 months to get a survey crew out there, just based on how busy everybody is at this point.
If you could do the limited work now and then do your air photography so that you have a good handle on that, at your pace, I would appreciate it a lot more.
Certainly.
Mr. Tedesco, the 200-foot list, how old? I might have misunderstood what Mr. Gibson was saying, but how old was that list that you actually published?
We got the list in June.
Okay.
In anticipation of the application. I don't know where Mr. Dockery got his, but I can supply the list that we got from the tax assessor for this application, give it to Mr. Dockery so he can include it in the plans.
Yeah, we will update the plans to match the notice list at that point. Our plan was earlier before when we were brought up for the contract for this application. So it is a little bit dated. I do apologize for that one.
Do any other board members have any questions or concerns of the applicant before we open up the public comment?
Doesn't appear so, John.
Fantastic. At this point, we can open this up to public comment. Is there anybody in the public that would like to comment on this application? If so, you're going to have to unmute yourself or... Scott, anybody? Anybody see anybody?
There's definitely an exceptional number of people on, but...
Right.
I don't know if anybody's having any trouble. I guess there's no way for me to really tell. If you're, turn on your camera, start waving your hands if you have a problem.
All right, at this point, I don't see anyone, so we're going to close public comment. Mr. Tedesco, I'm not so sure you need to say much of anything, but I'm not going to deny you the opportunity.
As Judge Miller told me a long time ago, quit while you're ahead. I'll submit based on what's been already provided.
At this point, we'll entertain a motion from the board in the affirmative to make a recommendation to renew the mining license, subject to the report from Mr. Gibson to include but not limited to the applicant revising the site plan, for lack of a better term, providing the 200-foot addresses based on the June mailings, clearing of those areas of debris where the fences are being overgrown, in addition to providing the proper signage 100 feet apart, as previously mentioned, in addition to the other recommendations as identified by Mr. Gibson.
Make that motion.
I'll second it, Calvin.
Chambers?
Yes.
Calvin?
Yes.
Henrys?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Watson? Watson?
Yes.
Walsh?
Yes.
Fry?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Pagliani?
Yes.
All in favor?
Mr. Desko, it was a pleasure seeing you. We hope to see you enough. Back and good luck, Mr. Papenberg.
Thank you so much. I will tell you that this is on a 3-year cycle. I turned 70 last week. I doubt very much you're going to see me 3 years from now, but I appreciate the comment. Thanks so much.
I've heard Mr. Gibson say that a lot. He's still here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, next up on the agenda will be the Pearson Pleasantville LLC application. It's lot 224, lots 68.01, 73, 74.02, 7503, 7804. Located on Woodbine Ocean View Road in a business district B, the applicant seeking preliminary and final site plan approval, a use variance, bulk variances, waivers from subdivision and your site plan standards, and any and all waivers and or approvals necessary to add ready-mix concrete as an additional use associated with an existing gravel pit. This application is continued from the July 28th, 2022 meeting. Mr. Baldini?
Mr. Baldini, before we get that, I apologize. It's a little bit more housekeeping issues. Just in case there's anybody here with respect to, there are two other applications that were scheduled for today. Both those applications have been adjourned. One application regarding second. That's the Narragan, Stephen and Susan. That is for block 261, lots 23, unit 2. That matter has been adjourned. There will be no required further notice. If you're here, you'll come to the next meeting, which is in September. The meeting for that September date is September 22nd. In addition, as for Claiborne and Francis John, that will and does require additional notice, and those notices will be sent out pursuant to the municipal land use law in accordance with the proper timing and information that's required to be in the minutes. So for those people that want to be here for an Arrogant or for Claybar, please be advised that we'll be having that on September 22nd. Thank you. That's just what I wanted to mention.
Thank you.
We have a small car alarm going off, so I'm going to mute us.
Mr. President? Mr. Ballester, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Would the board like to swear Mr. Murphy again, or is he still sworn in from last time?
Mr. Murphy, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Ballesteri, who is next to you?
This is my planning expert, Ms. Barbara Wendy Dillon.
Okay.
So, Mr. Bastine, before we actually start the testimony, perhaps we could just deal with one little housekeeping issue. Thank you. Exhibits A1, C, D, E, and F are resolutions of the board. I just want to make sure that I don't think we need to put them into evidence because they're words of documents, but I just want to make sure that you're satisfied that those are accurate copies for the board and they're acceptable for their use.
I have no objection to those. Mr. Ballesteri, do you have any objection?
No, I have no objection at all, but I do think they should be put into evidence in case the applicant or the objector decides to appeal. I had a similar question, a housekeeping question, as to the ordinances themselves. At the hearing on July 28th, I presented several images on my screen share, predominantly things like the master plan and the Dennis Township ordinances. I want to make sure they're part of the record, too, although they are governing law, and I assume they will be easy to reference. I just want to make sure it's all included. And I failed to do that last time.
Mr. Baldini, any objection?
No. So let's assume A1C, A1D, A1E, and A1F are all in evidence. And if Mr. Gostieri wants those other documents in evidence, that's fine. I mean, the master plan is the master plan.
Mr. Ballesteri, you can put together a list at the conclusion of tonight and send that list over to us to make sure that they are identified as documents to be part of the evidence.
I certainly will. You read my mind there. I think I do need to put together an exhibit list, and there's also a map. This looks like a Google map that I put up on the screen to show the proximity of the campsites to the applicant's property. I'll make sure to provide an appropriate list. And if I have any evidence tonight, I'll probably just start at 01, and I'll adjust the list accordingly and insert the appropriate dates.
And Mr. Ballesteri, I just asked you to copy me on that, please.
Oh, absolutely, of course.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I assume everybody received my revised exhibit list from last month, right?
Yes.
Good. Great. Okay, I think then we're probably ready to start. Mr. Murphy is now your witness.
I'd also like the record to reflect that Mr. Van Arsdalen from the board has joined us now.
I'm on. Sorry for the difficulty.
Okay, and Mr. Solicitor, Mr. Murphy's still sworn from last time. Is that how we're proceeding?
Just for me and no one got it.
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Murphy.
Good evening.
During your testimony in this matter on July 28, 2022, I believe you testified that gravel and sand mines, such as the current operation, have long been permitted uses in Dennis Township. Is that correct?
I believe I said that they've been in Dennis Township and they enjoy a special section within the ordinance.
Okay. And I believe at the very beginning of your testimony, you testified that in 1988, Dennis Township passed Ordinance 88-150, which recognized 6 gravel pits within the township. Is that right?
That's a true statement.
And when you gave that testimony, were you aware that Ordinance 88-150 was repealed by the township in 1994?
I was unaware of that.
In fact, isn't it true, it was replaced entirely by a new ordinance, Section 95-1, which expresses a clear intention by the township to phase out and eliminate the remaining gravel pits in the township and to restore those lands through the reclamation process. Isn't that right?
I don't believe that. I believe you're right. I believe that, and I'm looking at the ordinance right now, it's Chapter 95. I believe it is as a permit expires, for whatever reason, that the number of permits would be reduced by one. Again, I'm paraphrasing.
Of course. Mr. Chair, if I may, I'd like to do a little screen share right now, but it told me that that function has been disabled by the host. Is there any way you can give me that capability?
Guy, can you do that, please? Thank you, Mr. Ballesteri.
Thank you very much. Hopefully I learned how to do this last time. Okay. So, Mr. Murphy, I'd like to direct your attention to what I have on the screen, which is Chapter 95 of the Code of the Township of Dennis, entitled Excavations. And I'm going to scroll all the way down to the bottom here. And ask you if you could just please read very briefly Section 95-12 entitled Repealer. If you can read it out loud, sir.
Sure, I'll wait for you to finish. All ordinances consistent with this chapter are repealed. specifically ordinance number 88-150 codify this former section 95-1 through 95-7 of the Code of Dennis Township.
So we agree that that section has in fact some appeals?
Is that right?
Okay. And I'd like to direct your attention to section 95-2 of this section of the ordinance entitled Purpose and Control. Could you please read sections A and B out loud on the board?
In their interpretation and application, the provisions of this chapter shall be held to be for, quote, one, the promotion of public health, morals, and general welfare. Two, the elimination of dusty morals. Three, the elimination of danger from deep pits and close proximity to highways. Four, the conservation of soil, by the betterment of community. B, the provisions and requirements of this chapter shall be held paramount to any corresponding or similar provision of any existing law, ordinance, rule, or regulation.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to scroll down to the section that I think you paraphrased earlier. And if I may, I'm going to paraphrase it and ask you to confirm whether my interpretation is accurate. Section 95.5 of this ordinance basically provides that every time a permit is revoked or not renewed, the permit is expiring, the township reduces the maximum number of gravel pits by one.
True.
So eventually the goal would be to get down to zero, correct?
I'm not sure what the goal is.
Okay. You testified at CAR on the 28th of July that there were originally six gravel pits in the township.
That's a true statement.
And that two of them had been sold, I think. One's in the state and one in the county. Is that correct?
That's true.
So there are four remaining.
That's true.
Are you aware of for what purpose the state and the county respectively purchased those gravel pits?
I'm not sure.
And are you aware whether or not they were reclaimed?
Sorry?
Are you aware if they went through any reclamation process to restore them to their natural condition?
I don't know that.
Okay. But you agree with my interpretation that every time the permit is revoked or expires and is not renewed, we reduce or the township reduces the total number of available permits by one?
That's true.
And furthermore, the section provides, forgive me, let's scroll down. Okay, I wanted to talk about section 95.8 of this ordinance. Subsection A2 provided that all equipment stored on the property shall be that utilized specifically for the removal and hauling of resource extraction materials removed from the site only, correct?
That's what it says, correct.
Okay, and your proposal, if granted, would enable the applicant to utilize those materials on site rather than remove them from the site as is currently the Pearson operation at the site, correct?
Can you restate that, please?
Gladly. So, presently, Pearson is mining sand and gravel and other materials and shipping those materials out on trucks, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the trucks are coming back empty.
Correct. They would bring other materials such as stone.
Okay. And this section of the ordinance provides that all of the equipment on a property in Dennis Township that is engaged in mining and excavation shall be utilized specifically for removing and hauling extraction materials from the site only. Correct.
I guess you interpreted that way.
Okay. And your proposal of a ready-mix concrete plant on the facility would not comport or comply with this ordinance. Isn't that right?
Why would it not? I don't agree with that statement.
As is part of your proposal to have equipment stored on the property to be used to mix materials on site as opposed to removing it from the site?
The material will be mined from the site, and it'll get either taken out by a truck like it does today, or it'll be a different shaped truck, and it'll be mixed with the concrete. So the material will still be leaving the site.
Okay, and would a concrete plant be categorized as equipment stored on the property that's used specifically to remove and haul materials off-site?
It could be.
So is your opinion that you would not require an additional variance in order to comply to this section of the code?
No, I think we're applying for a use variance for the concrete plant as an entity. And whether it you know, we're looking at as a use variance, whether it agrees or disagrees with this section of the gravel pit ordinance, quite, I don't think it really applies, Daniel.
I'm going to scroll down again to a section governing restoration of disturbed areas. Could you please read the highlighted portion of the board?
Sure. Number 11. Restoration. Restoration of disturbed areas shall occur at the completion of the resource extraction operation, or as dictated by the planning board's part of the approval process.
So based on that, we're determining the intention of the township and the ordinances that excavated land is ultimately restored for a restoration process?
That's correct.
And that would include replacing the topsoil as well as restoring plantings such as, you know, native species of trees?
True. Yeah, we do the recertification of gravel pit and move it, and included in that is the restoration language.
Okay. Now, during your testimony on the 28th, I'm going to try to stop and share that with you. During your testimony on the 28th, I think you also testified that the former Mount Lucy Brothers gravel pit, located at the western end of Route 83, operated for years as a concrete plant and a gravel mining operation. Similar to what you're saying.
Mr. Ballester, I'm sorry. Could you please just speak it up a little bit? You're fading in and out, and I'm thinking it's more on your side than mine, because I hear everybody else good.
Absolutely. I want to make sure the record's clear.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Is that better?
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry.
Is that better? Mr. Baldini, can you hear me better now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, great. So the question is, on July 28th, Mr. Murphy, you also testified that the former Matalus Brothers pit at the western end of Route 83 operated for years as both a concrete plant and a gravel mining operation. Isn't that right?
That's a true statement.
But you also testified that concrete plant has been removed and only the gravel pit remains.
That's a true statement.
So my question to you is, if there's such a strong public need for another ready-mix concrete plant in Cape May County, why did that facility close down?
I don't know why they closed down.
There was also another facility nearby the applicant's property, U.S. Silica ready-mix concrete plant in South Dennis, and that also closed down. Are you aware of why that application or why that operation closed?
I'm unfamiliar with that facility.
I believe you also testified that there's an operation called Action Supply, which still operates a large-scale ready-mix concrete facility in Ocean View. Is that right?
I mentioned Action Supply. I'm not sure if I mentioned that it was in Ocean View or not.
Are you aware of its location?
I'm aware of its location. Yes, sir.
Is it in Ocean View?
I'm not positive. If it's in Palermo, Ocean View, you know, quite candidly, I'm not sure. It's in an upper town. Agree to that.
Fair enough. But if you would agree it is in Cape May County.
Correct. Yeah, sure.
Okay. And I believe you also testified that there was a smaller
sort of mom-and-top concrete operation on Woodbine Ocean View Road, directly across the street from the Pearson site. Is that right?
I testified at the concrete plant across the street from the Pearson site that was recently started. I don't recall referring to it as a mom-and-pop operation.
Fair enough. Those are probably my words. I think you talked about that was Pearl Concrete at 369 Woodbine Ocean View Road.
That's what the sign in the front says, correct.
Okay, and you also testified that that operation actually gets its sand or its concrete from the Pearson site, is that right?
It's got some sand from that site, correct.
And to the best of your knowledge, I believe, is that operation supplied local contractors and subcontractors for concrete for projects like sidewalks and landscaping, drainage projects, and the like?
I could only speculate.
That operation would have to compete directly with Pearson if this application were to be granted. Is that true?
I think I went into some detail on that in my testimony that while they're similar, it creates the same product, that they serve different purposes. The Burl concrete facility that was recently constructed across the street is satisfying the need of the smaller contractors, sidewalks, driveways, things of that nature. I believe my testimony said that Pearson, with the abilities to supply a greater number of trucks, could do larger projects such as concrete floors, walls, things that require more than just half a dozen yards of concrete. And then also the quality control of the Pearson plant can be greater. So sometimes we're making specialty type concrete, and you can get a consistent color in your concrete because the aggregates will be all the same for that mix. So again, they're not my exact words from last month, but I believe that's what I testified to.
Okay, thank you. I believe you also testified last time that the Pearson gravel pit has been an active pit for well over half a century, is that right?
Accurate.
And you testified that it still continues to operate today in a similar fashion to how it has operated from the very beginning, is that correct?
That's correct.
So given those facts, do you think it's fair to say that the current operation is an economically viable operation?
It is economically viable, I believe so, yes.
And what I mean is the use of the land as it presently stands without the addition of concrete plants appears to be economically viable. Is that right?
I would assume so. I'm not privy to the bookkeeping end of the business.
Of course, but they've been operating for over 50 years, so you know, they must be turning a profit. Fair to say?
It'd be reasonable to make that assumption, of course.
Thank you, sir. You testified that the current Pearson operation extracts materials, including sand, gravel, from the ground, sorts them by a variety of methods, and then trucks them to destinations off-site. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that use is certainly consistent with Chapter 95-8, General Regulations for Resource Extraction that you reviewed earlier, correct?
Just Chapter 95. Is it 95-8?
I believe it was 95-8, 95-8. It starts at 95-1 and goes to 95-12.
Okay. Yeah, it's Chapter 95, the Estimations and Section within a 95-8, which
yes,
is
sir.
Regulations for Resource Extraction. So we'll just think the general thing, Chapter 95. That's the question.
Okay, you testified last time that the currently existing Pearson operation utilizes earth-moving equipment, front end loaders, drag lines, dredges, sand washing facility, material stockpiles, multiple conveyors, roadways, an office, storage facility, a mechanical repair shop, and a scale house. Is that right?
Yes. Was there a storage building mentioned in there also?
I believe it was, sir.
Okay. I think that's everything.
And you're proposing to add to that a 52-foot concrete tower, an additional scenery, mixer trucks, tanker trucks, fuel storage, and a washout station. Is that right?
No.
Can you explain?
Sure. For example, the fuel storage, that's there today. The equipment runs today, so there's no need for additional fuel storage. That's to recall my testimony, that's one of the strengths, I thought, of bringing a concrete plant onto this facility, was to be able to utilize so much of the existing infrastructure that's already on site. We have the office, we have the vehicle repair facility, we have the storage facility, we have the fuel storage, scale house, all that already exists on the site today. So all that needs to be done to add this use to the site is to bring the concrete plant itself in and bring in the washout area. There's also an area testified to that is going to store the broken concrete, the leftover concrete, if you will, to hold off site and crush somewhere else.
So you do agree that you'd be adding a concrete plant, a washout station, and a broken concrete stockpile to the site?
Correct.
In addition to the earth-moving equipment, the loaders, the drag lines, the dredges, the sand wash facilities, etc., right?
Correct.
And you testify that, in your opinion, that would be appropriately classified as a, quote, light industrial use?
Absolutely.
Are you aware that the Supreme Court of New Jersey has upheld an ordinance which barred concrete manufacturing as a heavy industrial use in the case of Delicon Concrete Products, Inc. versus Borough of Presqu'ile, and that's 1 NJ 509-1949?
I'm unfamiliar with that, please.
Are you aware that in 2008, in Dennis Township Ordinance 8-20, this very board found that the proposed concrete project, as argued by the applicant, was not a light industrial use?
See, make that statement again, please.
Are you aware that in 2008, following your client's first application, this board specifically stated in the ordinance, I'm sorry, ordinance 8-20, that the proposed project was not a light industrial use?
I believe that project included an asphalt plant and a recycling facility also, am I correct?
Do you recall that the asphalt plant was actually withdrawn prior to the resolution being drafted and the application being heard?
I know there were some details. I was not party to that application. So, you know, I don't know when. I guess I can look it up if you want me to do that now. The resolution, my understanding was they were the three uses there. And you could tell me that there was a definition here at that point. I don't disagree with it. I can't agree. I don't have that knowledge at my fingertips.
Let me see if I can help. So what I have on my screen share right now is a copy of the Dennis Township Zoning Board of Adjustment Resolution Number 8-20, which was the board's decision on the applicant's 2007 and 2008 application. Do you agree with that?
Yes, it's Resolution 08-20.
And I believe this is part of the applicant's evidence, which we discussed at the outset of this hearing today. What I want to do is just scroll down. Do you recall what the applicant was asking for in this application?
I have to look at the resolution, sir. Let me see.
I'm scrolling down to subsection O on page 10 of 12 of the resolution. Can you please read the highlighted portion?
Sure. The board also finds that the project in question is not, as argued by the applicant, a light industrial use.
How do you reconcile the fact that the board found that application, was proposing that application would not be a light industrial use?
Let me verify what the project in question defined here with this section.
Makes sense.
In the beginning, I believe it says, operate a ready-mix concrete plant, SB recycling facility, and the continued use of sand wash in addition to the existing mining operations. That's the beginning, the first paragraph of that resolution.
Okay, so we agree this was a decision on an application for a ready-mix concrete plant and a recycling facility on this very same site.
Yes.
And in the resolution making this decision on that application, the board found that the project proposed was not a light industrial use, correct?
Yeah, no, but, you know, that was a different concrete plant, too. I'm not sure which factors were discussed at that meeting, what were taken into consideration by the board, to what extent, to what value they attributed to the recycling facility, and whether there's a difference in the size of the plant. I can only speculate as to that.
But we do agree that this proposal as it stands today in current applications is for a site of 155 acres.
I believe it's a little bit more than that, but close enough.
Give or take. And they're utilizing earth moving equipment like front loaders, bulldozers, and the like?
Sure.
And dredges and a sand washing facility and a proposed 50-foot concrete tower and mixer trucks and a wash station. And it's your opinion that that is a light industrial use?
Absolutely. If you look at heavy industrials, like in my testimony, you know, different people can define it in different ways, but my experience has been heavy industrial would be something like a steel mill, chemical plant, something that manufactures goods for government use, for other uses. If you look at, you know, the definition, well, gee, it's heavy equipment because it weighs a lot. I don't believe that's what heavy industrial is. In preparation for this hearing, I did research into the definitions of light industrial and heavy industrial. Part of my CV that was put on the record at the last hearing, I worked for a company called Chicago Bridge and Iron Corporation. And we worked at a lot of heavy industrial facilities. I worked at the Sun Oil Refinery in Philadelphia. I worked at the Philadelphia Navy Shipyard. I worked at the Air Product Facility up in Pennsylvania. Nuclear power plant. ARCO Refinery over in Delaware. So in my mind, that heavy industrial, that has a set of environmental constraints and concerns separate and distinct from light industrial. Light industrial, in my mind, and what we see here today, we have trucks that drive on the site and drive on the road. They have equipment that can be loaded onto trucks, can be hauled from here to there without a permit. They're not permitless. The dredge, albeit, has to be taken apart to be moved. But it's not the concerns, the planning concerns of this facility are very dissimilar to that of a heavy industrial.
For example, right across the street, there's a concrete plant. We just had this discussion a couple of moments ago. And it's the same use, the same material, put in the same order to create the same product, albeit smaller volumes. A 3 or 4 yards versus 10 yards. Not a 3 or 4 yards versus 300 or 3,000 yards. It's a sense of scale that, in my mind, as a professional planner, who's been doing this for more years than I care to admit, this is clearly light industrial, not heavy industrial.
I have up on the screen the ordinance of Dennis Township, section 185-25, which is the business district zoning ordinance, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And here, they talk about, they don't say light industrial or heavy industrial, they say business industrial. When they give us some guidance, it's just a permit.
Sorry? They say business and industrial complex.
So it does.
Either light or heavy.
Correct. But it does say, uses in this district should be free from objectionable odors, fumes, dirt, vibration, and noise. Correct?
That's correct.
And it gives us a bunch of examples of what's permitted in this. Office buildings, machinery sales, repair shops, warehouses, service stations. Are those also light industrial uses in your opinion?
Many of them consider light industrial uses, absolutely. And, you know, it talks about business and industrial complexes, and it talks about the uses that are permitted. And when you look at those uses, farm machinery, sales, service, and rental. Farm machinery and the machinery that's used on this facility are very similar. They move the earth, they provide services, and they move, whether it be sand or foreign hops or whatever, they're very similar.
Earth, Mr. Murphy, if I may interject.
Wait a minute, hold on. You asked him a question. Let him finish the answer. You can't talk over each other. He was answering your question. Let him finish, and then you can ask your next question.
Please. Okay, go ahead and proceed, Mr. Murphy.
Okay, thank you. The next item is earth moving equipment, sales, service, and rental. There's the equipment that's on the site today is earth moving equipment. I think there's been a brief to that. Whether it's operating or just being sold, serviced, or rented, the distinction. Contractor's yard and equipment storage. We have right next door to us is the Walters Brothers facility that has large cranes, steel construction, marine construction equipment, and they do manufacturing there right next door to our facility. We have an auto repair shop in car sales, which allows trucks to come in and go. Boat sales, service, and storage, which have large trucks coming and going. Some of the boats coming and going are permit loads. Warehousing, distribution centers, which bring tractor trailer trucks. Large trucks on and off the site, product assembly and fabrication, like I just mentioned at the next door at the Walters Brothers facility. They do product assembly and fabrication, steel fabrication. I think that would be considered one industrial. Lumber yards, which bring lumber on and off the site, again, all with large trucks. Government office and public works facilities right down the street from this facility is the county yard. It has trucks, it has the salt spreaders, it has salt storage, very similar in use and operation what we proposed here. And going back a little bit also, you highlighted a moment ago, uses in this district should be free from objectionable odors, fumes, dirt, vibration, and noise. I believe those same words are used, or very similar, used in the gravel pit ordinance, the chapter 95 we were just looking at a few moments ago. So with that in mind, I think the use that's being proposed here this evening fits well with all these uses that are highlighted in the business district. And I think that if you give it some thought, I believe here is all light industrial uses, industrial uses, that the concrete plant is much more similar to these uses than that of a chemical facility, a fuel facility, something more than one.
But we do agree that a concrete plant is a permitted use in this zone, correct? Otherwise, we wouldn't be asking for variance, right?
No, it's not permitted.
It's not permitted. Is there a distinction between those uses that are not permitted and those that are prohibited?
I have seen ordinances where certain uses are prohibited. I'm not quite sure what not permitted and prohibited the distinction is, but you're the attorney.
Well, I am the attorney. Let me see if we can look at this and get the bottom of it. Section 185.4, prohibited uses. Can you please read Section A for me, which I'll highlight for you with a mouse?
Prohibited uses.
Keep reading, please.
Sorry?
Please continue.
I will. A, all uses not expressly permitted in this chapter are prohibited.
So when you say it's not expressly permitted, in fact, it's prohibited, isn't that right?
Yeah, and that's why we have a use variance procedure. Otherwise, you could only do what was outlined in this chapter without any waivers whatsoever.
Of course, and I think that's what I was trying to get at, because, let's see here. I think I asked you if we can agree that concrete plants are prohibited uses, and you said, no, they're not permitted. But the ordinance makes it clear that those uses that are not permitted are prohibited. Is that right?
Well, it doesn't make sense to me why would this permitted uses and then say everything else is prohibited, and then have a board that allows for applications such as we have here right now to come in and say, gee, you didn't think of this because concrete plants aren't discussed anywhere in the master plan or the zoning ordinance, perhaps windmills, which are now common, are also not principal permitted use, but I think we all can agree that solar panels or windmills or green energy would be developed. So, you know, I don't think it's fair to say, well, it's prohibited. I think that's a different intention to the work.
Mr. Murphy, can we both agree that a lot of the planning thought goes into crafting ordinances and master plan?
Absolutely. I agree with that.
And can we agree that the Dennis Township amended their master plan in 2012?
We did.
And can we agree that Dennis Township is well aware of your client's desire to place a ready-mix concrete plant on this property by virtue of the 2007 and 2011 applications?
I can't agree to that.
And why is that?
Because I wasn't part of the discussion. You may have been
arguing. But your client did file an application for, among other things, a ready-mix concrete facility in 2007. Yes?
As part of a larger application, that's correct.
And your client filed another application in 2011, once again requesting, among other things, a ready-mix concrete plant on this site.
That's correct.
And is your testimony that you're not sure that the township was aware of your client's desire to erect concrete plant on the site after all that?
I don't know that. I wasn't part of that conversation.
Fair enough. How do you reconcile the fact that in 2012 the master plan was amended, did not include any permitted use for a construction plant in this zone, notwithstanding prior applications?
Well, they approved the concrete plant across the street from the town, so they reconciled it some way.
Through variance?
I don't know. I was not part of that application.
Are you familiar with the term zoning by variance?
I am.
And can we both agree that it is always the preference, or typically the preference, to zone by ordinance and master plan rather than zoning by variance?
That's correct.
Okay. You previously testified on July 28th that the concrete plan at the facility on the site, if approved, will not significantly change the general operations on the site. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I think you testified that large trucks, either way, will continue to move materials on the site as well as off the site, right?
Correct.
But currently, they mine the sand and gravel on the site, and then transport it off the site in dump trucks, right?
Amongst other things, correct.
And those trucks currently return to the site empty to be loaded?
Not necessarily. If you may recall, the testimony was that we like trucks that always have something in them when they move. So, for example, stone may come onto the site and sand may be put onto that truck. Stone is delivered, truck is filled up with sand, and then so it's full when it comes in, it's full when it leaves. It may bring stone to the asphalt plant right down the street. Stone will be delivered there, come here, empty, be loaded with sand, and you move off the site.
So, I think you're saying, or is it true that having trucks full of load ways is more efficient and more profitable for your bike?
It's more efficient, clearly. It may not be profitable for our client. We may just be, our client may just be selling sand.
Okay.
Selling sand to, you know, whoever I sell it to, that is who it is.
And if this application were to be granted, we would then have a mix of trucks coming and going from the site to be filled with concrete and then go out and make concrete deliveries, right?
That's correct.
And we have heavy dump trucks filled with aggregate coming in from Pennsylvania to the site, correct?
Similar to what takes place today, correct.
And we also have chemical shipments and additives to the concrete mixture, is that right?
There are additives to the concrete that come in sealed containers. Much like there is greases and oils and fuel already on this site. So this site is already set up and suited for things of that nature, for products that have MSD, material safety data information associated with it.
And if this application were to be granted, we'd have additional employees being hired?
Yeah, my understanding.
And that would create additional employee traffic to and from the site?
Yeah, it's a county road out front, so I don't think one or two cars want to walk the site and make any additional suits or whatever.
And would the applicant have to reconfigure the traffic pattern on the site?
So what is attached now, sorry?
I'm sorry, we have a motorcycle just driving by my office. Could you repeat that, sir?
I didn't hear the question.
Would the traffic patterns on the site need to be reconfigured if this application were to be granted?
To a certain extent, because the concrete trucks are going to go to the concrete facility, whereas the sand trucks will go to the sand part. So the empty truck coming to get washed out will go to a section on the facility. That there are sand trucks that go down that area currently. But there'll be just an additional truck to, you know, during the course of the use.
And it's your opinion that that's not a substantial change to the current operations?
Oh, none whatsoever. If you look at the aerial photography that we had, you can see that the trucks go through the site, and it's they go slow. I mean, they're big trucks. But whether they're getting one type of sand versus another, whether they need to go over the scale or they can go around the scale, maybe they're
They already have the weights already done. So there is a dynamic to the facility that already takes place. So there will be changes in the pattern, not for the exact same, really, not because it's going to be content. And it's going to be a washout facility. But as a general statement, the I'll call them the roadways, or just compacted spill areas, will be utilized. And the public portion will remain exactly the same. There's two entrances, an asphalted area with the parking already defined, and the lighting out there. So that all will remain essentially the same. The only change will be that the county wanted some widening of the county road in the immediate area.
Did
the
county say widening? Did the county explain why they wanted that widening of the road in front of the site?
They did.
Can you explain
it? Yeah, sure. The trucks are large trucks, and to make it safe for the traveling public, it was my conversations with Bob Church wanted to be the public to be able to, if a truck was making a left-hand turn into the facility, for the traffic to continue down the county road, not have to stay behind the truck. The truck comes out of the facility and it needs to get up to 50 miles an hour to have it, an acceleration, allowing it to get up to the proper speed before it merges into the existing traffic. And we do have a traffic consultant, Dave Shropshire, with us, as you are aware, who could go into more detail than that. But generally speaking, that was the purpose for the widening.
Mr. Murphy, do you have an opinion about whether the acceleration lane is long enough for fully loaded concrete trucks to get up to speed so our traffic?
Yeah, there's formulas that we use to design it. So I put together this form, I don't remember it off the top of my head. I shared it with the county engineer, Mr. Church, who agreed, and that's why I signed up.
Okay, you said these are large trucks. How round are they? How wide are they, sir?
I know they're less than 8 feet, but I don't know how wide they are. And there's different sized trucks, obviously. Some are larger than others.
I guess I'm most interested in the types of concrete mixer trucks that Pearson uses, if you know how wide they are.
I don't know that. I don't know how wide they are relative to their ferro concrete trucks either.
Okay, on July 28th, you testified that concrete is combined with four ingredients, those being sand, aggregate, cement, and water. Is that right?
Correct.
And you said when those are mixed together, a chemical reaction takes place.
That's a true statement.
But a few minutes ago, I think you testified that there are, in fact, chemical additives that are used in concrete. Are you familiar with what those additives are?
There's different additives that are used for different purposes.
Can you give us some examples and explain what types of chemicals are involved in this process?
Sure. There's what they call high early, which allows concrete to get to a higher strength sooner. As you know, concrete, when you first pour it, it has no strength whatsoever. But as time goes by, typically the 28-day strength that they're looking for the concrete, there's an additive that we can add that would allow that 28-day strength to be gained sooner. There's an additive called fiber mesh. The concrete is good in compression, but not in tension. So, for aprons or sidewalks, you'll see the wire mesh, chicken wire, you'll see that goes down. Sometimes we don't like the chicken wire for a variety of reasons. So we'll put fiber mesh in there. And that's mixed in. It's fibers that allow the concrete to withstand tension forces in addition to the compression forces. That's a very common additive. There's higher strength concretes that goes with the cement part of the cement project. That's one of the components. Typically, we have 3,000 pound concrete within which can 3,000 pounds for square foot. We can get up to 4,000 or 5,000 pound concrete. There's additives or products we'll put on the concrete after it's finished. Like this finish of a warehouse floor would be a different finish than that of a sidewalk. And that's applied on the site, which may be carried on the truck to be delivered as part of the processing, the finishing of concrete. So there's a variety of things. Let me touch on a few of them.
Thank you. And where are these chemicals stored on the site, pursuant to your site plan?
We have a storage facility only there, and as I stated to you earlier, this is an existing facility, so there's greases, there's oils, there's gasoline, diesel fuel already stored on site. There's different products that are used for the maintenance of these vehicles. Lubricants, thinners, things of that nature. All these are kept in a very secure area. This is a construction site, and safety is a component to any construction site. They're not just putting, like I would do at my house, leave it in the back of the shed and forget about it. These all have certain safety data requirements. They are stored to that, and there's safety compliance officers that work for Pearson, Pearson employees, to ensure that these things are every component, whether it be through the gravel pit or the concrete plant or just for the vehicles that are on the site, that all these components are handled in safely and on the proper manner.
Thank you for that explanation. But can you tell me geographically, physically, where are these additive chemicals stored on the site? Is it by the concrete plants? Is it somewhere else on the site? I'm just trying to figure
out. I can only guess. I don't know the answer.
Okay. And these chemicals, are they, to the best of your knowledge, are they toxic?
No. I mean, we use concrete for drinking water facilities. You know, we have concrete chambers that will mix the chlorine with the stored water in. Concrete is a very inert product. And so everything is I know I get involved in drinking water supply, and concrete is a very, very common material. So I don't know every component, so I don't want to say to you blanketly no, that there's no concerns, but my understanding is the concerns, if they exist or not.
Thank you. But my question is not whether concrete is toxic. It's whether the additive chemicals by themselves are toxic. Do you know?
No. You know, like I said, once you put it in the concrete, the concern that it could leach out is real. So I would, it's just an assumption like that.
Do you know whether these chemical additives are combustible?
Again, I can only guess. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't believe it would be any more combustible than gasoline or diesel fuel, just more on the site.
Understood. I think I just have a few questions left, so bear with me. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything on my list.
I might add all these additives, I'm sure, stored on site right across the street at the Ford Company. So the concerns you have, while they may be real, will already exist in this immediate area from the county.
Mr. Murphy, I think you, changing gears here, I think you testified that there are no endangered or protected species within the immediate area, I think those are your words, of the site. Is that right?
That sounds pretty accurate. I'm not sure that's 100% accurate, but reasonable. I'll accept that.
Okay. Thank you.
Adam, did you review the Dennis Township Natural Resources Inventory before you made that statement?
We did.
And did you review the 2012 Master Plan?
We did.
And are you familiar with the section of the Master Plan that says there are large areas of land within the township that are owned and managed by state and federal agencies for the protection of threatened and endangered species and wildlife habitats?
I believe that's about 50% of Dennis Township, if I recall reading that section correctly.
And I think that portion goes on to say that these areas represent a significant amount of undeveloped land, consisting in part of the Cape May County National Wildlife Refuge, correct?
That's correct.
And that refuge borders on this site?
It does, but this site is specifically void of that. When you look at the maps, this is, I forget the term they use, barren area, I think, something along those lines.
But you agree that the site borders upon the Great Cedar Swamp, which is part of the National Wildlife Refuge?
Well, absolutely. There's wetlands on this site. As you stated earlier, it's a 150-plus acre site. It's got a little bit of everything.
And I think we agreed last time that there are several camp sites around the site in the area.
There are. And you know, it's funny, you mentioned campsites too. I think in the ordinance, we talked about campsites and had the same requirement that if one were to be discharged, that the number of campsites permitted in the township would be reduced by one.
Do we also agree that the 2012 Master Plan stresses the importance of resort tourism and ecotourism for the Cape May economy and the Dennis Township economy?
It does. It stresses a lot of things.
Mr. Chair, I have no further questions for Mr. Murphy. Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Baldini, you can call your next witness.
I do have some redirect. Mr. Bastine, if that's okay?
Of course.
Thank you, Chair. So, Mr. Murphy, you discussed in your original testimony about the reclamation plan for the site.
I did.
And you were asked a little bit about it here tonight.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Can you clarify for me that the area that we are talking about within the site that will house the concrete plant and whatever's necessary for that plant is included, or can you tell me whether it would be included in the reclamation plan?
It would be included. The reclamation plan for the gravel pit talks, and we prepared it, so I don't have it in front of me, of course. But it talks about the perimeter, the vegetation is reestablished. So when this facility is completed, when all the material has been excavated out of it, that there will be a lake with a buffer, a vegetative buffer around the perimeter. With the exception, which is where we are talking about right here, that the facility, the office building, the retail, will be similar to where it's located, and similar to the Walters Brothers, the Cape May County facility. So there would be left a viable business entity on this site. So the back will be restored, environmentally beautiful, if you will, and the front would hot potentially we have proposed to remain as a office with warehousing.
So there were some questions, again, even here tonight, about the endangered species, and there was discussion about slate versus slate of this particular spot. Do you remember that question?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So when you refer to the site, we have a greater site, which is the entire parcel.
That's correct.
And then times you talked about the site referring to the concrete area where the plant will go. that right?
That is correct. That's a much smaller, that's approximately 2 to 3 acres in size of a 150 acre plus parcel.
Okay. And there was discussion of the Great Cedar Swamp, right?
That's correct.
Can you give me a sense of where the 2 or 3 acres is in relation to the Great Cedar Swamp on the site? Or just all?
Sure. We can get the site plan up, but if not, if you were to drive into the site from Woodbine Ocean View Road, there is a paved parking area with the office building to my right, to the repair facility to my right, to the scale to the left, and storage building. There is a washout facility that is going to be part of the mining operations, and the mining operations includes the San Washington also. The far left-hand corner, which would be the northwest corner of the site, is far away from this, where this is being, where the entrance is off of the Woodbine Ocean View Road. That's the environmental sensitive site. That's the area that has been defined by the DEP, been respected by Pearson, and no digging is taking place in that area. Can't it?
So, if you kind of look at the site plan, then it's fair to step back that the area that we're talking about where the paint will be is more or less in the southeast corner of the project's site.
Correct.
And that the swamp that you're talking about, the wetlands, is in the northwest corner of the site?
That's correct.
And the site's 150 acres?
Greater than that.
Greater. Okay. And is there something between the conservation wetlands area and this particular site?
Generally, there's about approximately 50 acre road.
Now, there's no talk about widening of the road to make it easier for trucks to manage by, sorry, make it easier for traffic to manage by trucks that might be trying to enter the site.
True.
Whether this is granted or not, are there trucks that enter and leave the site now?
There are, correct.
And are they generally, albeit maybe structured differently, are they generally the same size as these concrete trucks that are leaving the site?
They are. They're hauling essentially the same material, sand and stones. The concrete trucks are sand and stones, cement and water also.
So then do I understand this right, that this will actually be an improvement that will work to the benefit of the overall site, not just the concrete trucks?
That's correct. And as the fall would be the Walters Brothers facility next door that have large loads also when they bring the cranes on and off the site. They're very large trucks of permit loads. They would have the benefit of the deceleration lanes because they're next door and they just have to suck, you know, they get afraid of you.
Okay. And there were some questions asking you about the resource-based economy in Kinney County and Dennis Township. Remember those?
Yes.
So does this concrete plant service those resource-based economies in the county?
Many ways it does.
Can you give us some examples and take us through that?
Sure. Concrete is used for the construction of pools. As I stated earlier, for water treatment facilities, sewer treatment facilities, for recreational areas that require concrete pool or concrete walls, for large patios, things of that nature that are part of the campground, part of the resort areas. Concrete is a very basic, very fundamental building product, and to be able to bring that product into Dennis Township provides more efficiency and reduction of cost that would allow the people that need concrete to perhaps be able to make it a little bit more affordable for them.
You were asking questions about kind of what fits on the site. Do you remember some of those questions?
I do.
So, and you made the point that some existing infrastructure on the site will be, or may cross-utilize, some for this concrete site and some for the continuing land mining excavation business.
Yeah, that's why I said that this site is uniquely suited for the concrete plant. And if you step back just a little bit, it's so obvious. There are existing entrances to the site, existing paved areas, this infrastructure, the office, the repair facilities, the storage facilities, all that's on site. The gates, already on site. Nothing's new. So we have already had large trucks coming on and off the site. So the addition of the concrete trucks are just a percent increase, whatever that percent would be. So they already had sand and gravel coming on up the site. These trucks are in different shape. They have sand and gravel, some cement, and some mortar in them. Not unlike across the street where we had the concrete plant over there. That was new. That had a new entrance, a new office, a new driveway, a new parking lot, new lighting. This already exists on this facility. So all we're doing is rearranging the furniture, and we have a second remarkably beneficial use for the site.
Is it fair to say that you gave thought to the concept as to the placement of the concrete plant so as to minimize the changes to the site?
I'd like to take credit for that, but that came from the Pearson guys. I met with them on site. We looked at it, and they did not want to interfere with the existing mining operation, and this does fit perfectly. They had equipment stored in that area that was not being used for anything. They put the concrete plant there and put the storage thing right in that area. Already have circulation around the storage building, so they were able to put all this in place with minimal change in the site.
You were asked some questions about zoning by variance. Do you remember those questions?
I do.
And the applicant here is seeking a special reason variance. That correct?
That's correct.
And part of that special reason variance, the applicant has to show certain elements. Is that right?
Correct.
And he also has to meet what I'll call the negative criteria in order to get the variance granted. Is that
correct? Correct. It will not have a negative impact on the zoning plan and zoning ordinance of Dennis Township.
So is it fair to say that if the applicant meets the special reasons, which I'll call the positive criteria, and meets the negative criteria, which you just explained to us, that the granting that variance would not be zoned by variance because he met all of the elements required for his statutes?
Correct. We could do the benefit to the community.
So I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Benson.
Hey, John. Is it possible we could take a break?
Let's talk about that for a second. There's a couple of things that are going to be happening later on this evening where we're going to have to cut the testimony off at 10 o'clock. One is that the board needs to enter into closed session to discuss matters within the closed session. In addition, we are also having our review of the master plan. We have individuals here that we need to speak to as well. So the idea is that we would end the testimony here at 10 p.m. so the board can conduct some other business as well. Having said that, you could probably take a break up until 8:45, which is about a 10-minute break. Then we can come back and then we can continue with the next witness by the applicant. One of the other things that we should also talk about, and it is clear that we are not going to finish tonight either, and we should make arrangements. There was an offer made by the applicant to provide and pay for another date and time other than the typical Thursday night of the fourth Thursday of the month for us to continue with this application. During the time period, I would ask the board members
to look at their schedule and potentially pick either a first Thursday in September, which I believe is the 8th. Let me just make sure I have that date correct.
It would actually be the second Thursday.
The second, yes, the second Thursday, which would be the 8th. Or
first Thursday is probably out for giving us enough time to get those down.
Absolutely not a sufficient amount of time for notice. The 8th is going to be tight as well. So maybe that we choose to do Thursday the 29th, which is actually a good day to do it because there are five Thursdays in September, and there are generally no planning boards or other type of meetings that are scheduled for or land use, pretty much anything, on a fifth Thursday. So if the board member has, the board members can take a look at their schedules, that'd be great. Come back and commence. See everybody in about 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chambers?
Here.
Callan? Callan?
Here.
Penrose?
Here.
Turner?
Here.
Watson?
Here.
Walsh?
No. Yeah. Here. Here.
Spry?
Here.
Hope?
Here.
Capriani?
Here.
Martucci?
Here.
McAvoy?
Here.
Van Ostdalen?
Here.
Everyone present.
Okay, Mr. Baldini, you are next with your next witness, and who's it going to be?
So, it's going to be Bob Todd. Mr. Bastini, before I actually start him, on September 29th, Mr. Shropshire may have a conflict. We're going to have that verified in the next couple of days. Getting part of next week. I should get back to you and confirm that. He's trying to make sure somebody else can cover something for him. But other than that, we're available on the 29th.
Thank you. Mr. Pellicari, how about you?
So I have a question, if I may. Are we proposing to do the 22nd and the 29th? Or just the 29th? So we have all day.
Just the 29th. Day by yourself.
Okay, I'm still waiting to hear back from one of my experts. I should be able to confirm two of my experts are available. And my wife has a something that night. I promised I'd be home to watch the kids. But we might just find a babysitter. So I'll see what I can do about that.
Great. See what we can get done. If not, again, since it's the fifth week of September, let's try to pick a couple of alternate days as well. And in the interim, we'll collect some information from the board members as well to see their availability. All right, Mr. Baldini.
Thank you, sir. So, it's Bob Todd. If we could have him sworn, please.
All right, bear with me. Where is... I'm looking to see where he is on. Is his video on?
No, he's with me. He's sitting to my immediate right.
No, the gentleman right in front of me.
Yes. he's wearing the sharp looking piercing shirt.
Got it. Alright.
Non lawyer.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Alright, and can you say and spell your name and your address and your involvement?
Yes, my name is Robert Todd, T-O-D-D, 18 Cardinal Drive, Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey. I work for Pearson Materials, and I am the manager of their concrete divisions.
All right. So, Mr. I'm going to call you Bob. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Bob, how long have you lived in Cape May County?
Almost 50 years.
And how long have you worked for Pearson Construction?
Total of about 15.
Again, what do you, your position as a manager?
The general manager of the concrete division. So.
Are you familiar with the Dennis Township site?
Yes, I am.
How long has that site been active as a gravel pit?
Long time, as long as I have been a resident of Cape May County. Well over 50 years, I would say.
Okay. So, are you familiar with other concrete plants generally in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I basically grew up in the concrete industry. First job was 1978, and that's all I've ever done.
And you're familiar with operation of concrete?
Right, right. The daily operations. I oversee the daily operations, the men, things like that.
So I want to overdo it, but I imagine they wouldn't make it a concrete general manager if you have some understanding of these plants and how they operate.
But I would say yes, that's right.
Okay. Now, turning to the proposed concrete plant, do you know where it's proposed to be placed?
Yes, I do.
Can you give me a sense of where it is on the site?
As you stated earlier, it's on the, I call it the southeast end of the property behind the garage. Long side.
Okay. And it's the long side or behind the garage, is that in front or behind the public area?
Behind the public area.
Can you describe that area for me? For example, is it an already existing disturbed area?
Yes, an area where equipment is currently stored. Basically, it's just a storage area.
Will any new clearing or grading be required in order to place the concrete plant in this location?
No. The plant is technically what's classified as portable plant. We don't need to disturb anything to put it where they want.
Can you tell me what the hours of operation of the concrete plant will be?
The hours of operation would be 6 to 6 or whatever. Normally we operate with whatever township we're in or whatever the ordinance is. I think this one's 6 to 6.
Is it fair to say that the concrete plant is not designed to operate 24 hours a day?
No, it's not.
It's different than, say, an asphalt plant?
Yes.
And is, what days of the week is it made up?
Monday to Friday. We don't, none of our plants run much on Saturdays. We tend to stay away from them.
And do you have a sense of how many days a year the plant would operate, weather permitting?
I guess weather permitting, you're probably looking at about, 250 days a year. And again, the concrete plants only operate when the weather cooperates.
Where will you get the sand from for the plant?
Manufactured on site.
Will there be the need to bring in some aggregate in addition to this sand?
Yeah, there will be. There will be. We will utilize a percentage of the local aggregate produced there, but there will still be a need to bring some in.
So there was some discussion and testimony you may have heard about a residual concrete washout area.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me how that would work?
Yeah, basically that's a designated area where the trucks come back in, you know, with a yard or half a yard or whatever left on. A lot of times we try to reutilize it. We make storage blocks that you heard talk about bins, storage bins. We'll make those and utilize it there. If not, it'll get washed, you know, dumped on the ground. And when enough piles up, we put it in the dump truck all out.
And that's the shown on the plan as the recycles area?
Yes.
And in terms of where this washout area is, that also in a disturbed area?
To me, it's an undisturbed area, and we're not really going to do anything with it.
It's already disturbed.
Yeah, it's already.
There's not much like trees on it.
No. It's an open area. There's no area.
Right. Okay. And just so I'm clear, I think you did say this, but you're going to recycle the leftover concrete after it dries out off-site?
Off-site.
Correct. No recycling occurring on-site?
No. You can tell I'm not used to this.
That's all right. You're doing great. Just hang in there. Stay with me. How many employees do you anticipate being added? At least not on this end?
Anywhere from 3 to 6. Depending on the, you know, the market and what state it is.
And how will they park their vehicles?
The vehicles will be parked in the same area that the current employees are parking, which is up in the front of the car.
And there's enough space there to accommodate that?
Yes.
Generally speaking, what time will they arrive to the site?
Usually any time, again, as work dictates, but between 6 and 8. In the morning.
Can you give me a sense and describe for me how this would work? So if somebody comes in with it, you get an order for concrete, what happens?
Right. Driver comes in. Plant people come in, driver, plant operator. They'll punch in. They'll pre-trip and inspect their vehicles. The plant operator will go over the plant, turn it on, get everything ready. When the truck is ready, it will pull onto the plant. We'll get its load. We'll pull out from the plant. We'll get up, mix the load, make sure it's right, and then head on out to the job.
How many times could a then when the truck is done, what, it comes back?
It comes back. There's another load.
If there's enough time in a day? How many concrete trucks do you anticipate being based at the site?
Anywhere from 3 to 6.
And you said dump trucks will bring aggregate to the site.
Yes.
Are those trucks already going to the site for removal of material?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to utilize the same trucks that are coming in to get sand that goes out. We'll utilize the same trucks.
So that you will not be adding dump truck volume to the...
To the same trucks that are coming in.
Let me finish the question. Because what's going to happen is someday somebody, I don't know why anybody would want to read this, but someday somebody might want to read what we're doing, and we want to make sure they can hear both of us.
Okay.
You're not adding any additional dump trucks to bring the aggregate in? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. That is
correct. Can you give me a sense of what your plant capacity is?
The plant is rated for about 220 yards an hour, but realistically, 120 is about what you're going to get out of it. When you add in how long it takes a guy to get in a truck, back up onto the plant, get loaded, pull out, get the next truck in, then that's constant movement.
So that would be like more or less the highest volume.
That would be the highest volume.
So,
and then it would have to be a pretty special job to have to do that kind of volume.
Can you give me a sense of what the plant will provide concrete for?
Residential contractors, commercial contractors, homeowners. That basically covers everybody in the county.
And does the truck, concrete trucks, what's their capacity?
They hold up to 11 yards of concrete. So an order could be anywhere from 1 yard up to 11 yards, or multiple trucks.
What would you say is a general anticipated typical production day for the site?
In terms of yardage and volume?
Yeah.
Honestly, 100, 150 yards a day. I know you get, looks great to put out 120 an hour, but that's a pretty special job.
You were sitting through the earlier testimony.
Yes.
You heard some testimony regarding that the concrete plant will be able to take advantage of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give me a sense of some of the existing infrastructure that's going to be taken advantage of by placing this concrete plant where you designed it to go?
Everything that we need to operate basically is there other than the plant. We'll utilize the same office, store material in the same existing building. The roads are already there. There's a shop already there. We don't need to add any additional signage because the name of the company is the same.
So how about, is there a scale on site?
There is a scale on site. You can maybe utilize it if needed.
Is there moving equipment, so you want to call it material moving equipment, you know, like
yes,
behind loader?
Yes, which will also be utilized using the same equipment that the sand wash uses.
So they're already on site?
They're already there.
You're not proposing to bring any new or additional front end loaders or backhoes or any of that?
Nope. As he moves the sand, he's just dumps on the knobs.
And roadway openings, are you going to use the same openings that already exist?
Same existing roadways that are there, same gates.
And you heard the testimony earlier that you're looking some road widening.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Your company, you'll pay for that.
Yes.
Your company wants to be a good neighbor here in Thomas Township.
Sure. I mean, I live in the area. We currently have a couple of employees that drive to our vinyl facility that live in the area.
So, lighting. So, lighting adequate already
on site? Yes. So stairs.
To the extent that there may be some type of need to fix any of these trucks that are in the big bays already in place that you could repair these vehicles?
Yes, they are. Yeah. That's part of the infrastructure that's already there.
So, do you have a dust control program for this facility?
Yeah, there's a couple things in place. The plant itself has a dust collection system, which I believe is already touched on.
Right.
We also have a on-site water truck that will be utilized to keep dust down. And we are currently utilizing sweepers to keep it clean now.
So let's take that a little bit slower. Okay, you've got a dust control system already on the plant itself.
Correct.
Okay, that was discussed with the bin over time.
Yes,
that
test. Yeah.
All right. Your guys understand how to operate that equipment correctly?
Yes, sir.
Then you testified about a truck that would spread water on the streets?
Yeah, keep the dust down in this facility.
And that
is currently there now.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And that's for the roads that you use interior of your truck?
Yeah, interior and parking area.
Okay.
So we do go out into the parking area and get that.
Okay. And that is effective to help keep dust down?
Yes, it is.
And are these concrete trucks produce any different and more dust than the standard dump trucks that you guys are using?
No.
Same.
This is going to be about the same as we've seen.
And you use these water trucks already to control dust?
Yes.
So you may make a few more runs? And then you testified about street sweepers.
Correct.
Is that like something you see in your channel when a street sweeper goes by your house?
Yeah, pretty much. Only I'm not sure how big the ones they use are, but we use it now currently as needed to do the interior does parking areas, and it also does the street out front of the plant.
Okay.
We go down as far as the neighbor and then come back on the other side.
And you would propose to continue to do that even after the access ramps are built?
Yes.
Can you kind of process on site when you're making this concrete? I tell me about the machine that you pour the stuff in it, doesn't use a conveyor belt. Give us a sense of
how basically you have bins that the material goes in. When you call for a load, the belt starts and dumps the material up into a waste bale. The truck backs underneath what we call a boot. All the material will then come out of the waste bale into the truck. It's got a hopper on it. The barrel's turning, and I've been doing that. And that's basically how the material gets into the truck. And then it's mixing in transit on the way to the job site.
So does your company currently make concrete?
Yes, we have two other facilities.
Where are they?
One is in Vineland, New Jersey, and one is in Bridgeport, New Jersey.
Does this excavation site in Dennis Township provide aggregate or provide material for sand for use in those other plants?
Yes.
So if this board approves the placement of the plant here, those trucks would go no further from where they are loaded to the plant itself.
The
sand trucks.
The sand trucks, yes. Actually, the sand for the plant will be dumped with the loader.
So you
don't need a truck. No, the idea is the loader is just going to pick it up from the pile and drop it into the bin.
So there would be less dump trucks leaving the site because they're not going to be needed.
Correct.
They're not going to truck that sand to mine.
Correct.
The sand's going to stay on site.
That sand is going to stay on site getting mixed in the concrete.
Just like we described how the truck is loaded.
Yes.
Can you give me a sense of who are your customers? Where are they from?
Basically, the customers we're delivering to now in Cape May County are a mixture of commercial contractors, local names, which would be 609 Masonry, Cadula, Holly Beach Masonry, Seashore Builders, Clearwater Construction.
That's good enough. We get that.
Yeah, there's a big variety.
So it's a fair
and it's a small cost.
Okay. Is it fair to say that you're servicing the local Cape May County economy?
Yes.
Now, at the present time, how do you service that local economy?
Out of one lineman plant.
Is there a life expectancy to this concrete once it's put in a truck?
Yes. And you try to get it off the truck within 90 minutes. From the time water is introduced to it.
And water is introduced to it
at the plant process. We get a process, yes.
So when it leaves Vineland, it has a limited shelf life.
Limited shelf life, yep.
And to get it to the southern end of Cape May County, where even
it's difficult.
Right. Yeah. And does its staying ability change depending on the weather?
It does. If it's cooler weather, it does last a little longer. Hotter weather, it's less. Some jobs will cut it back to an hour instead of 90 minutes.
And I guess it's coming.
And then you're right up against it.
Yeah, you're right up.
You're right there. Don't have a flat tire on a real car.
Right. So do I understand correctly that it's really the intention of this plant to be able to better serve Cape May County and Dennis Township?
Yes.
Do you deliver concrete to Dennis Township?
Yes, we do.
And do you give me some sites where you may have delivered it?
We were just involved right here in this campground project. They put a new miniature golf course in on the backside of right over Route 50. There was another one we did. I mean, we've done a couple of storage buildings down the street here in Woodbine.
I was going to say, we're in Wild.
Yeah.
You see down the street.
Well, from the plant. I'm thinking of the plant.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
With Zoom, you never know where.
Never know where it's at. That's a joke.
I would like you to confirm a couple things for sure. Can you confirm whether this plant will be in compliance with all of New Jersey DEP regulations.
Yes.
Will you also be in compliance with all New Jersey DEP and federal permits?
Yes.
To the extent there's any other permits that are required, will you be in compliance with all permitting?
Yes.
All of those. And you have a program in place with your company to make sure that those are all in compliance?
Yes, sir.
So, can you give me a sense of what your feeling is about the noise from the concrete plant?
Because it's a dry patch plant, what we call a dry patch plant, where the material just falls down into the truck. We just will be within compliance of the requirements.
And I know this is not really directly here tonight, but can you give me a sense of how does the existing operation work? What happens at a sand mining camp? So we can see how this would blend in with it.
In a nutshell, basically they're dredging sand from the bottom of the lake. It goes up the stacker, gets washed, gets separated, drops in a pile, and that's where your trucks come in. And they get loaded and they truck the material out.
And I think you testified a little bit ago that those trucks are going to use the same entrance and exit that you're proposing for the concrete trucks.
Correct.
Do you have a plan?
Existing.
Yeah, just the existing entrance,
mm-hmm.
also through 550.
Yes.
You're not changing that entrance?
Not changing.
Is that entrance wide enough to accommodate, other than the work you agreed to do a road?
Yes.
The entrance itself is wide enough to accommodate the concrete plane?
Yes.
Yes. I assume the trucks are basically the same width as the dump trucks.
Yes.
You have to fit on
the
track.
They have to fit, and they're legally fit on the road.
Yes. And is there any special permitting for the concrete trucks? So they're completely street legal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, some oversized trucks need special permits.
Yes.
These are not. And can you give me a sense of how the traffic plan will work when, so if I'm in one of these concrete trucks, let's just say I'm returning, I go in through the main gate, which is gated, right?
Correct.
Right, it'll be open for the business day. So I'll go past the parking area you talked about,
right? Correct.
And past the little office building there,
correct?
I'm entering onto the site. Now what happens?
The trucks will come in one direction. They will make a call under the plant.
Okay.
And it will pull onto the plant, get loaded, pull out, or wash down. We call it wash down. They just get the load.
Right.
And then they'll leave in the outlink. But basically, the same as the load. Right? One direction, left, no direction.
So that I'm clear then, you've got a system set up where the concrete truck will pull in,
uh-huh.
swing around to the plant.
Correct.
And then pull out around and go out.
Correct.
And if the truck has some aggregate or material left in it, where will it go?
It will go over to that area designated as the washout area.
On the site plan.
Correct.
Okay. And then it's the same thing. After it's done washing out, it will return back.
It will return back or park for the night.
And will the trucks be parked on site?
Yes.
When it's not being used?
When it's not being used.
And where will they be?
Back by where the plant is.
And they will not be at the public parking area?
No, they'll be inside that gate.
Behind the gate?
Behind the gate.
Is that how far back from the street is the gate?
I would think it has to be every bit of 150, 200 feet. Maybe even longer. Maybe even longer.
And where you're proposing to park the trucks and the plant, they're behind that area.
Correct.
And are there buildings in front of them?
Yes.
What kind of buildings are there?
There's the office building. There is the garage. There's the storage, metal storage building.
And it's going to be behind all of those?
Yes.
Yep. Are there, is the site with this? Obviously not right where you're parking.
Not
right
around the area.
Correct. Perimeter is what?
Yes.
Are they trees in place?
Yes, there are.
Do you have any sense of how tall those trees are?
I mean, they have to be every bit of 60, 70 feet, I would think.
And the plant and all the trucks will be behind those trees?
Yes.
sort of adjacent to the washout site, right? So when that pile reaches the sufficient size that it's ready to be recycled, what trucks will you use to take the material out of the facility?
One of the dump, we'll utilize one of the dump trucks that I set out. So we won't have to use anything special or anything on that's there.
And just so I'm clear, you're not asking this board to approve any type of recycling of any material on that site. That is correct. Also. So, I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to open it up to the board members. Do the board members have any questions of Mr. Todd? Take yourself off of mute so we can hear what questions you have.
Mr. Todd, where do you take the concrete to be recycled?
We will be taking it to our Class B recycling center in Bridgeport.
Thank you.
Mr. Todd, when a concrete truck's loaded, how much does that weigh?
It is under 80,000 pounds. Because there are people, it's under whatever the legal weight limit is.
So like a yard of concrete weighs 4,000 pounds wet?
A little bit under, roughly 3,800 pounds, yeah.
So it weighs less than a triaxle of aggregate coming in, or sand going out?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Okay.
And no matter what mix you get, it's still all based off the same theory.
Correct. So their deceleration, acceleration is the same as a dump truck going in and out of the plant?
Yes.
So you don't need a longer runway?
No. No, you don't.
Okay.
It's all relative.
I have a question.
Sure.
Mr. Murphy had talked about some chemical additives that are used to make the concrete.
Yes.
How often do you have excess or chemicals that you need to dispose of?
When you say this, that I have to get rid of?
Yeah.
We utilize. Yeah, they're like the shelf life one of them, if they don't freeze is indefinite.
Okay. My question was, if that came about, how would you dispose of that material?
If I needed to get rid of them, the admixture companies come in with a truck and they will pump them out and take them out.
Okay.
But it's we utilize them all the time.
Okay.
Also, in the winter time, when you do the you add water, heat water, hot water.
Yes, we'll utilize heated water.
How do you heat the water?
With a like a gas burner, just a big tank, and there's a gas burner, and the water just sits in the tank and gets heated up, it's utilized. The tanks usually are about 10,000 gallons. So
the chemicals that you have and all the material that you have that you're going to have at your site,
yes.
Is that the same stuff that is maintained across the street at the Pearl site?
It's all the basic stuff, yeah. I'm not sure what he uses, so I don't know what company he uses, but they all basically will do the same thing, yes.
What sort of chemicals and additives do you use?
You use, the most common are air entrainment agent and a water reducer. Basically, that allows you to use less water. So, but you're talking ounces per yard. It's not like these things are getting, 50 gallons of admixture
per truck. It's very minimal amounts.
What kind of chemicals provide that service, that entrainment? What kind of chemical is used in that?
It's just called an air entrainment admixture. Back in the day, a lot of them used to be sugar-based. Now they're, you know, manufactured. But for example, in a yard of concrete, you may have 3 ounces of liquid air entrainment. You're only talking about that much. It's not a lot.
Thank you. Is calcium still used?
Pretty much no. Even the what they call high early has to now have less than a certain allowable percentage. There are regulations that has to be. Calcium is not good for concrete.
Or rebar.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Watson, you're leaning forward. Does that mean you want to talk? No, I'm scratching my leg. And the other board members have any questions of Mr. Todd? At this point, I'll open it up for Mr. Bellisteri. Do you have any questions for Mr. Todd?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Todd. You testified earlier that the hours of operation would be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
That's correct.
And this facility is not really designed to operate 24 hours a day, correct?
Correct.
Could it, if you needed to, if you got a very special job, could it run 24 hours through the night?
That's not allowed for the township ordinance. So we would have to follow the township ordinance.
Sure, but if the township ordinance includes a provision which allows you to request special permission for special projects, which it does, and you needed to, or the terms of a contract requires you to do it overnight, do you have that capability?
Well, again, we would have to follow whatever the township ordinance allows us to do.
Of course.
And if the job required special night work, and then obviously the ordinance doesn't allow it, then it would possibly be a job we wouldn't do.
But if you got the permission, aren't there certain jobs that do require you to work overnight?
Yes, there are jobs that require overnight work.
And my question, and I'm sorry if I'm not being clear, but the question is, if you had a job that required you to work overnight, and you got the appropriate permissions from the township or the board, do you have that capability at this site?
The plant could run at night, yes. Yes. It's a plant.
And you said there's lighting at the plant?
There's existing lighting at the plant, that is correct.
Okay. You testified that you guys work some Saturdays, but you try not to, is that right?
That is correct.
If the weather is cooperating, how many Saturdays per month would you say you end up working?
I would do it more how many Saturdays per year. We have not worked a Saturday at either plant probably in a good 3 months.
So what's the number per year?
It's just not economically. It's just Saturdays aren't good days for government. Everybody's out and about. It's just not good days.
Understood. But how many Saturdays per year do you think you do work?
I couldn't put a number on it.
Okay. You mentioned weather a few times. How does weather affect your operations?
You ever pour concrete?
No, sir.
Okay. can't pour it in the rain. You can't pour it, you know, if it's below 15 degrees. So weather has a little bit of an effect on it.
What if it's, say, in the 30s? Do you still operate in the 30 degree Fahrenheit range?
Yes, you can.
Okay. You were asked a question about aggregate from offsite, and you mentioned that I believe that you're going to use a fair amount of aggregate from the site, but you are going to ship in other aggregates. Is that right?
That's correct.
Can you tell me about what percentage of aggregate would be from the site versus offsite?
I would, my goal would be to try to use 30 or 40% of the on-site aggregates. So that would obviously leave the rest coming from off-site.
And where does that come from?
Most of it comes from Pennsylvania.
And then in exchange, you deliver sand to Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Along with our other concrete facilities.
Understood. Thank you. Is there currently a broken concrete or recycled concrete stockpile on the property?
No, there is not.
Okay. You mentioned, I believe, that there would be a broken concrete stockpile from the washouts, and then eventually you need to haul that away to your Bridgeton facility?
Correct.
Bridgeport. And about how often does it fill up to the point where you need to load it and haul it away?
Again, that's all based on how busy you're going to be.
So how about in the busy month, how many trips do you have to take to the recycling facility? Is it daily? Is it weekly? I don't know anything about it.
Hang on a second. One second. Was it?
Of course.
Is your default speaker?
Okay.
Mr. Bellisteri, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, there you go. We can hear you. Sorry about that. We had a technical glitch on my side.
Not a problem.
And we didn't hear that last question.
So the question is, in a busy month, how often do you have to load the recycled or broken concrete stockpile onto the truck and haul it to Bridgeport?
That's a tough question to answer simply because that's all driven by how accurate your customers are. If they order the proper amount of concrete, you really don't have a lot of leftover. It could be once a month, could be twice a month, could be once every couple of months.
But it's not a daily occurrence.
No, it is not a daily occurrence. No.
So maybe a few times a month, depending on the customer's accuracy?
Or less. It could be or less.
Okay, thank you. I was going to ask you where it goes, but I think we covered that with the board questions. You mentioned employees. You said you're going to hire anywhere from 3 to 6 new employees for this site if the application is approved?
Correct.
And how many current employees do you have operating on the site?
I believe there's 5 there.
So we're talking about a total of 8 to 11 employees on the site running?
In that range, yes.
Okay, and if you guys get really busy or if you get a big project, do you bring in additional employees from your Bridgeport and Vineland and other plants?
If I did that, it would be from Vineland.
And does that happen where you have to reallocate your employment force amongst the different plants that you have?
Sure. It's job driven.
You said the employees arrive between 6 and 8 a.m., is that right?
Correct.
What time do they typically get back up? Do they arrive in their personal vehicles?
Yes, they do.
And what time do they depart the facility in their personal vehicles?
What time do they do what?
Depart the facility.
Anywhere from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, depending on the workload for the day.
You mentioned that when a truck pulls into the facility, a mixer truck, it gets its load and then it pulls out from the plant?
Correct.
So does it pull off forward to the plant?
I have both rear discharge and front discharge trucks. So it could be backing out or pulling out.
Okay, but some of the trucks will have to back out.
Correct. Correct, and some will pull out.
Okay, and when these trucks back up, I assume they have those beeping loud alarms on them?
Absolutely, that's a requirement. It's a regulation.
And those are fairly loud, correct?
No. I mean, they're under whatever the decibel level has to be to operate.
Do you find them annoying?
Do I?
Yeah.
No more annoying than the car horn that was going off earlier tonight.
So they're about like the car horn going off? Like the car alarm?
They're like what?
So that they're approximate to a car alarm going off?
I mean, they're probably, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the decibel level is. They're not that bad.
Okay. Does your equipment have strobe lights on the top of it for safety?
No, not the concrete trucks.
What else?
They're doing the job that they're required. We'll put them on, but they're not normally. You know, if you're doing road work, usually the road work crew supplies that type of lighting.
Does the plant itself have strobe lights on it?
No, it's not high enough to need them.
I think you testified that there are between 3 and 6 concrete trucks based at the site.
That would be the goal, yes.
And does Pearson own additional concrete trucks?
Sure, we own more than 3 to 6, yes.
How many are in your fleet?
At present, 18.
And you had a really big special job. I assume that you would pull some of those trucks to the Dennis Township plant?
If they were needed, yes, and then they go back to their facility when done.
And you testified that each truck carries about 11 cubic yards of mixed concrete, is that right?
That's the maximum, yes.
Is that for the entire fleet, or are there some trucks that hold more than that?
No, that's the maximum of all the trucks.
Do you know how wide your concrete trucks are?
Wide enough to be legal on a lane. I'd say somewhere around 8 feet, maybe.
The reason I ask is because it's two-way traffic, and some of the roads nearby are narrow.
No, I get you. But obviously, they're legal in a normal lane of traffic.
Fair enough.
They don't require special permits.
I think you testified that you provide concrete to residential contractors, commercial contractors, and homeowners, right?
Correct.
Is there any job that's too small for you?
No.
Okay. Nope. Now, Pearson has a pretty large construction outfit, is that right?
That's correct.
And Pearson's involved in some pretty large projects?
That is correct.
Can you give us some examples of some of the bigger projects Pearson has worked on in the last few years?
Pennsylvania Turnpike expansion. He's doing a job right now on a turnpike for New Jersey Turnpike Authority. He's building bridges over the years.
Any tunnels?
I don't think so. If he has, we did some projects.
Were you involved with the Garden State Parkway construction?
Was he involved with that? Yes, he was.
And that was a fairly large project, correct?
That was for Cape May County, yes.
Okay. You already answered a whole bunch of my questions. Give me a moment just to go through and make sure I'm not missing anything, please. I think you testified that your plant is rated, hypothetically, to produce 220 yards, cubic yards of concrete per hour. Is that right?
That's the plant rating, yes.
But realistically, you said it's more like 120 yards?
Yes.
So I'm just trying to think about, hypothetically, what's the most yards you could produce in one day? If you're operating for 12 hours and you actually get to that 220 yards, so I know you say it wouldn't happen.
Right. You have to understand, too, though, that you're not operating. That plant is not loading 12 consecutive hours. The reality of it is you can probably load a truck
every six and a half minutes.
And if you actually did that, I mean, if you had your biggest project and you had it all hands on deck, how many yards do you think you could realistically produce in a day, max, realistically?
800. I mean, theoretically, you could produce more, but there's a lot of moving parts.
And at 11 yards per truckload, that would be 72.7, almost 73 trucks out and then back in, correct?
Loads, yes, but you're utilizing the same trucks to deliver those loads, yes.
Understood, thank you. Would you say that most of the concrete you produce is used on Pearson projects or is sold to other contractors?
Other contractors.
And I know that there was a large infrastructure act just passed by the federal government. I imagine there's going to be a lot of big projects coming up for lots of contractors. Is that your expectation as well?
We would hope so.
You said you live in the area? You're a resident of Cape May County?
Yes, yeah.
How is the shore traffic in this area, in your experience?
Of the what?
The shore traffic in the summertime?
It's difficult to deal with.
And does it back up on Ocean Woodbine, Ocean View Woodbine Road?
Not really. It does, but not like it does on some other roads.
Okay. And does it back up to Route 9 in your experience?
From where the plant is back up to Route 9? If it does, it's probably on a Sunday morning when everybody, or afternoon when everybody's going home.
Okay. We mentioned, you mentioned dust during your testimony. You said that the proposed site is equipped with a dust collection system?
Correct. That's part of what's on the plant.
And are you referring to the vent or the filter that's at the top of the tower?
Correct.
About how tall is that vent? Do you know the dimensions of it?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
Okay. You also mentioned that there's an on-site water truck to keep the dust down on-site?
Correct.
And does that go out to the street too? That truck?
No, we would not take that out on the street.
But there's a street sweeper as well that you do take out on the street sometimes.
We utilize a company to come do it, and they do the street, yes.
So that's not Pearson's truck. That's a company that you hire?
Correct.
And are they there daily, weekly? How often do they come?
We usually, basically what you do is it's once a month or as needed. So obviously if it's needed more than once a month, we'll do it as needed.
In your experience, is there a significant amount of spillage out on the main roadway leading into your plants?
No.
So that's not why you have the truck?
That's not what?
That's not why you have a sweeper truck come?
No, we just keep it to keep that off the street.
Okay. And you also mentioned a water truck on site to help keep the dust down?
Correct.
How does that work? What does that look like?
Basically, it looks like a small, you can never see a tanker truck like the fire company uses, only small. And it has a spray bar in the back, and it just, you drive it around, it sprays water.
So is that while the cement plant is loading into the trucks, that comes and sprays a mist to keep the dust down?
It's during the course of the day. Plant could not be running, it could be running.
You mentioned that the trucks back under a boot when they get loaded?
That's what we call it, yes.
And you said sometimes they back out from that position and sometimes they go forward?
Correct, depending on if it's a front truck or a rear loading truck.
I think you also testified that the trucks will come in the main entrance, they'll wait to be called up.
will tell them when to pull under the plant, correct?
And are they running and idling when they're waiting to be called to pull under the plant?
Most of the time, yes. If we know they're not going to be going right out, we will shut them down and tell them, wait till we call them.
And are they running and idling once they pull into the plant to get loaded?
Yes, they are running when they pull under.
And are they running and idling when you have to be spraying down?
Yes.
Okay, so assuming it's not really backed up, they're running the entire time?
That they're working, yes. I mean, it's a truck.
And does the truck have to be on in order for the mixer trucks to rotate properly?
Yes.
You mean the concrete carriers?
Yes.
And are those diesel engines?
Yes, they are.
You said you currently service your K-Bank customers out of the Vineland plant, is that right?
That is correct.
And how long have you been doing that?
Probably about a year and a half, Vineland. We reopened Vineland.
What did you do for K-Bank business before you reopened Vineland?
For a while, we had a plant in Pleasantville, and I can't tell you what they did before I came back. I don't know that they ran down here.
When did you shut down your Pleasantville plant?
They sold it. I can't tell you either.
There were some questions about chemical additives in your concrete.
Yes.
And you mentioned that it's not a lot. It's just a few ounces per yard.
Correct.
In other words, you said it's not 50 gallons, for example, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
The deliveries of those chemicals, what sizes are they coming in? Are they coming in barrels or tank trucks?
Basically, we have tanks, and then they come and fill the tanks.
How many gallons are those tanks?
We have a delivery truck. What's that?
I didn't mean to talk over you. I'm sorry about that. How many gallons are those tanks?
Normally, they're somewhere, they'll hold somewhere between 500 and 1,000.
Gallons?
Gallons, correct.
So the best of your knowledge, are those chemicals toxic?
They are not toxic, nor are they considered hazardous.
Are they flammable?
I couldn't tell you the chemical composition, but I do not believe they're considered flammable.
And are they combustible?
No.
In all your time working at Pearson, have there ever been any spills or accidents involving these chemicals?
No.
You said that when you need to dispose of it, somebody comes and pumps it out, takes it away?
If it ever needed to be. I've been in this business 40 years plus. Maybe once in 40 years did they have to do that.
And during those 40 years, working at, do you work at any other companies?
Yeah, different companies, yes.
Okay. Any accidents or spills at those sites?
No.
And how are the chemicals stored? Are they puncture-proof? Are they encased in concrete? Or is it just like barrels?
The admixture companies supply what are referred to as C-boxes. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, because it's
metal containers. They're completely enclosed and contained.
Just briefly, I think this might be my last question. Can you just describe the various types of chemicals that you use? I think there was talk about chicken wire, and I have heard about fly ash in the past. Are those things that you use in the company?
We do not utilize fly ash. Chicken wire, I think I heard it mentioned earlier. That's something the contractor might place in the concrete. We would use maybe the trade name is Fibromesh.
You use that sometimes, you said?
Yeah, it's like a polyester fiber that you put in the trucks. and they sit in.
Okay, maybe just a few more questions. What are your busiest months of the year?
Spring and fall. So you figure probably April, May, September, October, November. We had slow down, obviously, in the colder weather and in the summertime.
And what are your slowest months?
July, August, December.
What about January and February? Is that slow? Are those slow months?
It's relatively slow.
Are there any limitations on the amount of sand that you can take, or gravel that you can take from this mining site?
That's a question I wouldn't be able to answer unless Bob in the mining.
Do your employees wear protective gear when they're working with the chemicals we talked about?
Is they're required to wear protective gear any time they get out of the truck.
Does that include things like masks, eye protection, ear protection?
Hard hats, vests, steel-toed boots, eyewear. We have a pretty stringent safety department.
What about gloves? Do they wear gloves when they handle this stuff?
Yep. They're issued gloves multiple times a year.
Last question. Can you approximate how long trucks stay at each station when they come into the plant to get loaded and then exit the plant?
Yeah. The goal would be to have a truck loaded, washed down, and out of the yard 15 or 20 minutes.
Is it 15 or 20?
15 to 20 minutes.
And how many stations do the trucks go through?
It would only be two. Unless they have to dump leftover concrete, and then it might be three.
And does that include when they're holding, waiting to be let in?
Correct.
Okay, and how many trucks
and you go to the plant, then you have the wash down and dump area.
And on a normal day, how many minutes would you say that are sitting around waiting to be called in?
Say that again, how many minutes what?
Are they sitting around waiting to be called in, idling in the parking lot or wherever they would be?
They come in, they pre-trip their truck. We give them 15 minutes to pre-trip their truck. Then they pull onto the plant, they get loaded, go out. And then, really, it's just a basic cycle. They come back in, they get pre-loaded, they go back out. They might wait 6 to 10 minutes if there's a truck ahead of them to get loaded.
And then, forgive me, because this is important to me. How long at each station? You said they might wait 6 to 10 minutes at the first station or at the second station. Is that the washdown?
Again, maybe 5 minutes.
And then how long to load?
Depends on the load size. Anywhere from 2 minutes to 6 minutes.
And then they exit the facility?
Yes. Just keep in mind, concrete is a perishable product. So obviously, the quicker I get them in, get them loaded, and get them out of the yard, the more time the contractor has to work with.
I think you said, as with the perishable, I think you said about 90 minutes is the shelf life.
That's roughly the rule, yes. Yep.
Okay, and I think your expert said 2 hours. Is that like the high end?
Yes, it's all, again, job driven, whatever the resident engineer decides to do. What the temperature of the concrete is.
And can you extend that time period by adding more additive?
You can, but a lot of guys don't want to spend the money, especially the market that I'm in or going for.
Understood. I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Todd.
Mr. Baldini, do you have any redirect?
I do. Thank you, sir. So, there's been a lot of questions asked about chemicals that are stored on site.
Yes.
And I'll just want to be as clear as I can be. You handle all those chemicals in compliance with all laws in the state of New Jersey and federal government?
Correct.
and you've never had a spill on site?
In 4 years, I think I said I've never really seen a spill on site.
And the companies that you buy the chemicals from supply the metal containers to ensure that if there's some kind of problem, they
self-contain.
Correct. The area where you are keeping those, is that the same area where you keep other chemicals like gasoline and oils and stuff like that?
In the same vicinity, yes.
So that area has already been prepared for that kind of storage?
Correct.
Okay. And you had a lot of questions about hypothetical enormous amounts of concrete being generated from this point. Do you remember those questions?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Were they realistic in any sense of the word?
been a Bay County resident for most of my life. What's the biggest job we ever had? Walmart? Very highly unlikely that Amazon is coming to take Bay County.
And if an Amazon came to Cape May County, it's fair to say you have other plans such as the buy-load plan that we testified about earlier that could assist in handling the volume and take the pressure off of the Cape May County plan.
Correct.
Yes. and I would kind of went over this, but I just want to hit it again. Where you have your additional employees, that is the 3 to 6 employees additional, you have adequate parking for their vehicles?
Yes.
You have adequate space on site to be able to handle those additional employees?
Yes, we do.
They will not spill into the neighborhood?
Nope.
In terms of the trucks, you testified that they would basically cycle in and cycle back out in 15 minutes. Is that right?
That's the goal.
And you gave some station time, and I added minutes up and came out for about 15 minutes. Okay. So if they're going to be around more than 15 minutes, then I understand the testimony to be that you would direct those people to turn the trucks off?
Especially the price of fuel.
Okay. Even aside from the price of fuel,
it's just too big. All about it.
Okay. And they turn those trucks off if they're not being used?
If you do go on, yes.
All right. And if you have 3 to 6 trucks on site, but you only need 2, the other 4 trucks do what?
Don't start.
Right.
Don't run for the deadline.
Correct. Okay. So when we're talking about, you know, what this concrete plant is doing, realistically, you run the minimum necessary trucks to accomplish whatever your orders are for the deadline. Is that right?
Yes.
And you can time when trucks arrive on a job site, right?
Correct.
So if you only have a couple orders, you would tell,
stagger your times.
Right.
Right. So you stagger the same trucks.
Yeah.
Or you stagger your start times. I don't have all 6 guys coming in at the same time.
Right.
So I can't load them all at the same time.
Got it. And it doesn't serve anybody's purpose.
Correct.
Thank you. I've never really
Can I just add one thing real quick?
Sure.
Just so the board knows, we currently have a couple of employees now that are actual Dennis Township residents that drive every day to Vineland to work. Just wanted to put that out there. Looking forward to working close to home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hold on. Just in case... somebody from the board has additional questions based on the questions we've asked. Thank you.
Anybody from the board have any questions, additional questions? Nope, doesn't sound it. I think at this point, John, if you're not there, are you there? I think this is probably a great spot to kind of move on.
That makes sense to me. So, Mr. Baldini?
Yes, sir.
What I'm going to tell everybody is, at this point, unless there is further notice received, we will continue this application on September 22nd But the public is to look for potential notice moving this to a date specific of sometime during the week of September 26th to the 30th. And if we do decide to meet on another day on the 29th, I'm sorry, other than the 22nd, we will make that known to the public, as well as the notice requirements through the press and the 200-foot list.
And start time would be 7 o'clock on the 22nd, is that right?
The next meeting would be 7 o'clock, September 22nd. At this point, there's no further notice required for the public or the 200-foot, but should that date change, we will provide adequate notice of the change, or I should say, and the applicant will provide proper notice.
Thank you, Mr. Bellisari.
Thank you, Mr. Bellisari. Thank you for joining us this evening. Members of the public, thank you as well. At this point, the testimony is closed for this evening for all matters, and we will continue next month. And I want to thank everybody and their patience.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up for discussion, John, is the master plan review. I had kind of reached out to Randy. He's a little bit tied up at this particular time, so I'm prepared just to kind of what we have is we have several meetings scheduled. We are making progress for the master plan. Randy will be we have a meeting scheduled at the end of the month, and we're going to have another one scheduled sometime in the second week of September. And then after that, Randy will be ready to present a report to the board for the September meeting with recommendations that are, you know, that he made, that we feel are needed to, for the master plan for the board to review and to vote on. Any questions about that from anybody?
Dan, I don't know. A lot of stuff's come up. I don't know if you're ready for that. The September meeting or not, but we'll do the best we can to get there.
Okay. All right. That sounds good, Scott. You know, I had spoken to him earlier today, and that was what he had felt. He does have a...
20 seconds. Other, that's further advice. Not tomorrow.
I'm just saying goodbye to our expert here, Mr. Gibson, saying goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
All right.
Yeah, John, I mean, Scott, sounds like we are on an aggressive timeline, but we do want to get this right, like you mentioned before, for the board, so we'll keep that in mind. Scott, that will be the resolutions, John. You want to go over the ZMAC SCM LLC resolution?
Sure. So we, you remember we heard previously in 2021 an application for ZMAC. Under a use variance to provide for certain contractors' offices as well as offices, storage buildings, and so forth. Then they came back to us at the last meeting, and at the last meeting they essentially came back to us for preliminary and final site plan review. They go ahead and they came before us. There were certain waivers. Essentially granted the motion of final and or preliminary and final site plan approval with certain variances. We also provided some conditions, and those the conditions had mostly to do with buffering to the north, buffering against the parkway. We also provided them with some waivers associated with the environmental assessment and the environmental checklist because they have provided us with an LOI and a freshwater report, wetlands report. They also talk about not providing a trash enclosure. It turns out that when you have these storage facilities, people will just basically take the dumpster and put everything in there in the way that trash, these storage facilities prevent that. It's just not offering anything. The addition is that we also provided them not required curbing because this is sheet flow. It comes to the water runoff. And one of the other things that we talked about was whether or not the model electronic field and water bins applies to certain projects. We certainly know that when you have five or more units, it applies in the residential section. The second section of subparagraph D deals with what they determine as parking lots or garages. Many times when we talk about parking lots, some of us think about, you know, you go to Philly, you got to buy a parking lot, you got to pay, park your car, park your garage. But further reading the ordinance in a much closer detail, there's a section that says if you have a parking lot with less than 25 parking spaces and you are a retail use, you're not required to provide the ready spaces, ready-made spaces for providing charging. So when you read that contemporaneously with the rest of the ordinance, the model ordinance, parking lot and garages are not limited to those that you pay for, but for anything that's over 25 parking spots. So in this particular circumstance, there is 36 spots. So they're going to have to comply with the model electronic vehicle ordinance. There has been some question as to whether or not, you know, we as the township and or the planning board can change the ordinance. And we certainly can, but the sections that we can't change are section D. Section D is specific as to when you have to provide for ready-made charging stations and actually turn them into charging stations. So even if we were to adopt or change the model electric vehicle ordinance, we couldn't change this anyway because it's specifically in the statute, specifically in the regs, specifically in the model ordinances, that we cannot change Section D. So we're going to have to comply. We'll just have to keep this in the back of our minds for other applications that are either have five units or more or 25 units. Thank you, Mr. Penrose. There was a typo, and it was actually a typo in the original resolution. And that original resolution said that we would permit a sign that's 25 feet high. It was never the intention. The applicant only sought for an 8-foot high sign, and the permissible size is 25 feet. So we correct that in this resolution as well. That's about as good as definition I guess. As good as I can get.
Anyone want to make a motion to adopt?
Was that a use variance, John?
It was.
Yes.
No, it wasn't a use variance, but it came back.
I was able to vote on that one, right? Yes, I was. Yeah. I was, because I remember asking the question. So I'll make the motion.
I'll second. Chambers.
Carla.
No second. Chambers?
You're muted, Carla.
Okay. Chambers?
Yes.
Cowan?
Yes.
Penrose?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Watson?
Abstain.
Walsh?
Yes.
Fry?
Yes.
You are absent, right?
Yeah,
that's correct. Sorry about that.
Hope?
Abstain.
Capriani?
Yes.
Pass.
All right. So before we go into closed session, let's finish with the minutes and the bills, and this way we will let the public go, or anybody else that's still here and is listening, and then we can go into closed session. And so then we don't have to come out of closed session and go back on the record. Well,
all right, great. Next up will be the adoption of the minutes from July 28, 2022. That was a synopsis of the last board meeting that we had. Pretty simple. I hope you reviewed them. Has anybody, Mr. Penrose, anybody find any typos or anything with them?
Everything looked good. Thank you.
Adoption of the minutes. Motion?
I'll make a motion. Calvin.
Second?
I'll second. Penrose.
Favor of adopting the minutes? Sorry? Okay.
We can just do it. You can just do it by. Oh, well, you don't need a roll call. Well, all in favor?
That's what I did. Any negatives? Yes, or not? Bills? To be paid for Mr. Frallinger, to Paul Subdivision for $8,750, ERM Driftwood LLC site plan variance, it'll be $175, Narragan site plan, $218.75, Clebar site plan, $218.75, C-Rack CM LLC, $218.75, HRD Holdings Subdivision, $385. Mr. Frailinger's total will be $1,303.75. Randy Shule, for his master plan review, preparation of report, and the meeting's attendance, he has a bill of $1,468.75. And for Mr. Battistini, ZMAX CM LLC site plan, $320, and his August monthly bill of $500, for a total of $820 for Mr. Battistini. Grand total for the bills would be $3,592.50.
Motion, Turner.
Second, Chambers.
Roll call for that, Carla.
Chambers?
Yes.
Cowan?
Yes.
Penrose?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Watson?
Yes.
Walsh?
Yes.
Fry?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Capriani?
Yes.
All right, at this time we can make a motion to go into closed session. For anybody here that is in the public, we will not be coming back out of closed session other than for Carla to make an announcement that closed session is done, but we'll conduct no further business. Somebody want to make that motion, and we'll need a second. And we'll need
I'll make a motion. Cowan.
Second, Walsh.
Recording in progress.
So there was a motion, there was a first and a second, and Carla's going to take a roll call vote to go into closed and then not have to come back to the public since there'll be no further board decisions.
Chambers?
Yes.
Cowan?
Yes.
Penrose?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
Watson?
Yes.
Walsh?
Yes.
Fry?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Capriati?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, let's cut off the recording.
Recording stopped.
All right, well, tomorrow's our big day.
One second, hold on.
You guys.
Recording in progress.
All right, so we are back from executive session, and we're closing it out. No action to be taken. Good night, everybody. Is that good enough, John?
He's adjourned.
Good
night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.
Recording stopped.